Come on. Our praise awaits you with the dawn. Our souls awake to you and lift a song. We bring our hearts and our song to you. We've seen the things that you have done, and still we know the best is yet to come.
It's you. A few seconds here, and can we just continue to adore Jesus with your own words all across this room? Can we just minister to the heart of God? Can we just bless the name of the Lord who has been so good? So good, Lord. Oh, we adore you, Jesus. Come on, lift it up in your own words.
We adore you.
We adore you.
ask today that you would reveal more of Jesus to us. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts to see you, to see the hope that we have in you, Jesus. Open our eyes to you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. set apart, perfect
holy,
every
holy,
way.
Holy,
and I want to see
our creator. God is on the throne. God is all consuming, the head of all we know. God is our good father. God is endless love. God is ever present, singing over us.
Invitation from the Holy Spirit here. I know we've just worshiped for 24 minutes. It's beautiful, right? I feel like we're on the cusp of like clicking over into a moment in the Spirit. If we can press in for two more minutes here, I want us to sing, "Let Earth Rejoice, He Reigns Forevermore." And we all know that so many parts of the world are not rejoicing right now. We know friends who are not rejoicing right now. So I want to make this an act of intercession. So we're going to go back into this, "Let Earth Rejoice." I invite you to lift your hands. I invite you to intercede. Some of you just want to shout to the Lord. Some of you want to pray over your friends. But come on, let's press back in here. And just the Spirit's going to meet us here in these next 2 minutes. Come on, church. He reigns forevermore. Isn't it good to be in the presence of the Lord on this Seattle morning? Can we thank our team for leading us so beautifully and excellently every week? Two quick things. One, we want to be the smallest big church in America. We want to know each other. We want to care for each other. We want to gather together. And so you're not just coming in for a private interaction with Jesus. You're coming in for the body of Christ. So here in just a minute, I'm going to invite you to cross the aisle, hug a neck, shake a hand, say hi, okay? So that's one thing. Second, there's three ways to give here at New Life. If you're a part of this family, we invite you to worship with your tithes and offerings. You can click that QR code or go online or snail mail, however it works for you. We invite you to give now. Take 45 seconds, take a minute, cross the aisle, say hi to each other, be kind in Jesus' name, and then we'll open the Bible. 1, 2, 3, be nice.
North. My name is Sydney.
My name is Briggs.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
If you're new here and you're wanting to learn more information about New Life North and the ministries that we offer, you can scan the QR code or click the link below.
If you're watching from Facebook or YouTube, thanks for tuning in. Talk to us in the chat. We would love to hear from you.
Service is about to begin, so grab a Bible, grab a notebook, maybe grab a cup of coffee, and let's lean in together.
welcome to church this morning. Grab your seats if you will. Pastor Brady is in Tokyo today, Japan, not Texas. I don't know, there's gotta be a Tokyo somewhere in the United States. He's in Japan today, and this week Pastor Brady and his son Abram, they're meeting with some of the key leaders, strategic leaders in the church across the nation of Japan, and he's speaking at the largest church there. So pray blessing over him. Pastor Brady's on a bit of a summer break, early summer break, getting a bit of a sabbatical. So just speak blessing over him and Pam as they're resting and finding their strength. And Brady, as you're watching, we bless you all the way, halfway around the world. Give it up for Pastor Brady this morning. We love you, man. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to John chapter 14? We're in week 12 of our series going through the Gospel of John, and I have just found this to be incredibly rich. I've loved opening the text. I've loved listening to the different approaches to the text, and we invite you to just meditate on this text with us over the next many weeks. As a church, we'll just kind of clip through it together and let the Lord speak to us. So what I'll do is I'll read John chapter 14, the first 9 verses, and then I'll pray and we'll jump in. So hear the word of the Lord out of John 14. These are red letters in many of your Bibles. This is Jesus talking, and he says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. Lord, please do it. I will come back and I'll take you to be with me that you may also be where I am." And he goes on in verse 4, he says, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." He's kind of setting them up here. You know, yeah, right? We all know the way. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, "Lord, what are you talking about? We don't actually know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus, quit being so cryptic. Just like, give it to us straight. Jesus, where are you going?" And Jesus said, "Well, I'm glad you asked. I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." So Thomas says, "Show us the way. Where are you going?" And Philip says, "Okay, just show us the Father and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Philip, don't you know me even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Philip, how can you say, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Let's pray. Would you quiet your hearts and begin to pray what Pastor Brady has taught us to pray all these years? Come, Holy Spirit. Would you let the Word of God awaken you today? Would you let the Word of God challenge you today? Would you invite the Word of God to comfort you today and strengthen you today? Lord, we need you. Isaiah said that the Word of God will not return void, but will accomplish everything that it was sent to accomplish. And the word of God, Isaiah says, is like the rain and the snow that fall down from the heavens and water the earth so that there might be seed for the sower and bread for those who eat. And so God, today we're asking again, let your word be like the rain and the snow that falls down and waters our lives. Make us new, make us whole, make us holy, make us your people, we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, allow me to set the scene for you. Last week we talked about John 13. Jesus pivots from all of the signs and the wonders and the miracles and all the great street performance. They're out in the streets and he's raising the dead and he's healing the sick and he's feeding the hungry and he's blessing those who are bereaved and broken and lifting them up. Jesus, the book of signs. But last week we turned to John 13, which becomes the book of glory. And what we see is the Son of the living God getting up from the table, the place of honor, taking off his robe of royalty, wrapping towels around his waist, and getting out a bowl of water and washing the feet of the world. Judas gets up from the table that night after that dinner and goes out into the darkness. The disciples think he's going to make arrangements and work a deal and, you know, do what he does as the CFO of Jesus Inc. But Judas goes out in the streets to broker a backroom deal to sell Jesus off to the Jewish leaders for 30 pieces of silver. Judas leaves the dinner, and what you feel in this moment in John 13 is the darkness descending, the chaos erupting, the enemy tightening the screws, closing in on the Son of the living God. We sense that death is on the horizon. And in this context where fear abounds and chaos is in the air and terror is on every side, Jesus says the craziest thing. It just doesn't add up in our spreadsheets. In the darkness, in the betrayal, in the confusion, in the chaos, Jesus, with the childlikeness that only the Son of God can possess, says, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Oh man, we need that. How can he say that knowing that maybe hours later he's gonna carry the old rugged cross up Calvary? How can the Son of God say, "Do not let your heart be troubled," when his life is falling apart and when death is on the horizon, when the enemy is pressing in close? You see, Jesus has access to peace that doesn't make sense to any of us. And Jesus is inviting us into that peace. Do not let your heart be troubled, he says. Don't be shaken. Don't let your heart be earthquaked into running away. That's really the language he's using there. An earthquake, a shaking, a shattering, a falling apart. He says, don't let your heart do that. He's saying, don't be spooked into quitting on your story, and don't be spooked into walking away from Yahweh, and don't let your heart melt in fear. Jesus says in this moment, and we need to hear this today, that we have agency, that we have the ability to choose what happens in our hearts, that we can partner with heaven, that we are not merely being acted upon by outside forces, that we are not just helpless in this moment. Jesus says, look me in the eyes. You, do not let your heart be troubled. And then he says, trust in God, trust also in me. Don't be troubled. Duncan Trussell, a philosopher slash kind of ironic teacher who's poking at, you know, trying to provoke us to wake up. He said, some poor phoneless fool is probably sitting next to a waterfall somewhere, totally unaware of how angry and scared he's supposed to be. Oh, bless his heart. Peace. Yeah, you want to find peace. Oh, that's great. Do you know what's happening in the world? Some poor phoneless fool is sitting by a waterfall somewhere, just entering into the joy that the Lord has given them. Friends, Jesus says, don't let it happen. Don't let chaos take your heart over. Don't let anxiety take your heart over. Don't let pandemonium enter your being. Do not let your heart be troubled. We have agency. We can choose. We can partner with heaven to keep our minds in a world that's going mad. Can you say amen today, church? He says, you do trust in God. You do trust in God. And then Jesus says, look me in the eyes, trust also in me. You do trust in God. Hey, trust also in me. Jesus knows in his moment that many believe in sort of an amorphous force of divinity somewhere out there, that there were spiritual teachers, that there were philosophers in his age. He even knew that there were good Hebrew people who would have worshiped Yahweh and memorized Torah. But Jesus is saying, hey, yes, you trust in God. Look at me. I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. Now, if you were to go out on the streets of downtown Colorado Springs and sort of have a woman on the street or a man on the street interview, and you were asking people, do you believe in God? What would you expect to hear from most people? Yeah, I believe in God. I believe in, good energy. I believe in a higher power. I believe in the man upstairs. I believe in a creative life force. I believe in sort of a karmic principle that what you put out there with your energy is going to come back to you. I believe in sacred energy. I believe in resonance. I believe in a source and substance of all being. Or even to just wiggle out, well, they'll generally say, I believe in the universe. I believe in the universe. You know, I had my grounding this morning and I rooted myself and I had a cup of oat milk latte, and I don't know how they get the milk out of the oat, but somehow it's just really good. And I just love, I want to just be a good resonant. Look, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious, right? Am I making up any of these things? Have you heard this in the moment that we're living in? Essentially, let me tell you what people are saying is, I want to have a spiritual existence without sacrificing. I want to believe in somewhere out there. I want to believe that there's an order out there. I want to believe that there's a good thing happening. I want to believe that there's a future for me, but I don't want to take up my cross and deny myself and follow Jesus. I don't want a God who says to me, wash the feet of your enemies. It's painful when God gets really specific. And so what we've done is we've replaced kind of a worship that costs us something with a cheap interaction that works for us as long as it works for us. And at the point at which it stops working for us, we find a new God. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I just want energy. I want, you know, I want good vibes only. Don't bring that into my space. I've got to set my boundary. And all of that is, it's fine. But what I'm saying to you is if you run into Jesus, what you're going to find is a God who gets really, really specific with worship. In John 14, I'll say it this way. Jesus invites our worship to move from sloppy generalities into cross-shaped specificity. Cross-shaped specificity. If anyone wants to follow me, you've got to learn how to bless those that curse you. You've got to learn how to pray for those who despitefully use you, Jesus says. If you're going to follow me, you've got to learn to turn the other cheek and to go the extra mile. You've got to learn how to sacrifice. You've got to learn how to fast and pray. You've got to learn how to sign up for the long haul. If you're going to follow me, you can't just worship somewhere out there and make an idol of your nice, comfortable religious experience. You have to take up your cross and deny yourself and come and follow me. Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me. And if you're going to trust God, your worship is going to get specific. I'll say it this way. You cannot get the Jesus life by living the devil's way. We live in this American moment of strength and power and empire and victory and success and the stock market and everything up and to the right. And we want, I get it. Very often we take the Bible and we say, God wants to prosper us and God wants to bless us and God, and he does. But often what we end up doing is we find a way to get to that point by using people along the way. We want the Jesus life by living the devil's way. We want the Jesus victory by not having to deny ourselves. We want pleasure, we want strength, we want success, but we don't want sacrifice. And if you're going to have the Jesus life, you have to live it in the Jesus way. You have to live the Jesus truth. And if you take the Jesus way and the Jesus truth and you stack decades, you will look up at the end and you will find that you have been caught up into the Jesus life. Jesus is inviting our worship to become very specific. Jesus is inviting us to take up our cross and deny ourselves and come and follow him. But we can't do it alone. Jesus knows this. And so in his teaching here, he gets really creative with his language. Jesus in John 14:1a, he says, do not let your... And he's talking to the group there. He uses a plural. Do not let your plural. And then he says, do not let your heart, your singular heart. So he uses a plural to address the group, and he says that they have a singular heart. What Jesus is saying to them is you have to stay together. Do not let your collective heart, your shared heart, be shaken, is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you've got to stay together. You've got to carry one another. You've got to hold each other's hands and walk each other home. You've got to bless each other. You've got to show up at church on a weekly basis. Do not let, he's talking to the group saying, you have a shared heart and the devil is going to try to break your hearts up and to separate you from each other. And Jesus says, don't let it happen. Stay together, church. Do not let your shared heart be shaken. Lisa, my bride, we've been married coming up on 19 years in a few weeks, and And she's with me in most services. I preach Friday night. She's with me. She was at the 9 a.m. and then she had to take our son to a basketball game, so she's not here now. But in every service where I'm preaching, Lisa knows about 15 minutes into worship that there's a war going on in my heart. So I've prepared all week. I've studied all week. We sent in our notes. We've done our work. We've exegeted the text. We've looked up the original language. Like, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? We've done the work, and now here we are in church, and the enemy, about 15 minutes into the service, starts trying to mess with me, and he'll start to say to me, this is when God's going to abandon you. You're going to get up there and it's going to flop. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be stupid. These people won't hear anything. What are you doing wasting your life? This is worthless, growthy. Put it down, walk away. There's easier jobs. The enemy starts messing with me, and Lisa will sense it in me because she knows me better than anyone on the planet. And she will reach over and she will grab my hand and interlock fingers with me, and she'll begin to pray, Lord, peace on my husband. Bless Daniel with your comfort. Strengthen him and fill him with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I speak the life of God over him. Let his thoughts be your thoughts. Let his ways be your ways. Give him the mind of Christ today. I pray that as the word goes forth, Lord, that it would quicken people and bring them back to Jesus. I'm standing there weeping very often because my wife is speaking a blessing over me that only she can. Because look, we all have unique stories. We all have our own problems. But Jesus says, do not let your group be broken up into individualized stories. Keep your heart together. Do not let your shared heart be shaken. And after that 30-second prayer, 60-second prayer by my wife, I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol, right? Because someone can speak life into you and bless you and empower you and build you up. And this is why we come to church. I'll just say to you, corporate worship matters. Corporate worship is meant to restore our shared heart to a place of peace. And after 6 days, like I'll go into Monday and I'll live the week and I'll work hard and I'll pray and I'll read my scriptures alone, but I'll need to be here next Sunday. Why? Because I will be empty next Sunday. I'll be anxious next Sunday. I'll be afraid. My strength and my power will have waned and drained out this week, and we'll come back in here next week and we'll let our shared heart be restored. We'll let faith fall in the room. We'll pray over each other. We'll encourage each other, and we'll sign back up for another week of work in the kingdom of God. Friends, Jesus says, do not let the enemy drive you apart into individualism. Let your shared heart be strengthened and empower each other and look each other in the eye. Be filled with my spirit together. Can you say amen today, church? Do not let your heart be shaken. Every Sunday when I come in, it's a bit of a ritual for me. The worship team will be in here. They get in really early, 7:30. They're starting their rehearsals, and they've shown up at 7, and our AV tech team and our life safety team, the ushers, people are working around here. But I'll come in, and at 8 o'clock, I can know what to expect. I'll be in the back of the room, and right over here behind the sound booth, where that lady in the white sweater is sitting, there is a lady called Miss Alice Wagner. And Alice Wagner, I know she'll be sitting there every single week. She's 89 and a half years old. Miss Alice Wagner is here today. Can you welcome Miss Alice Wagner to the stage? She's gonna actually come on up. Can you honor her, a faithful woman of God? Dad, can you help me? I want you to meet her today because this woman is a saint right in front of us, and this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. Here you go, Miss Alice. Her grandson is helping. Miss Alice is a great, great grandmother. And if you catch her at the right time, she'll show you all the pictures. Watch that cord there. We're good. So Miss Alice was born December 8th, 1934. You put your hand right there on that podium, Miss Alice. I'm gonna come here. And she has been around here for decades. Her husband, her late husband, Ken, was one of the head ushers here at New Life Church. Served this congregation faithfully every single week, helping people find a place in the family, helping people give their tithes and offerings, helping people get back to their cars. And Alice and Ken have been legends around here, 89 and a half years old. And I wrote down all that she just the world moments, a little summary of the world moments she's been through. She was born in the middle of the Great Depression. been through World War II. Pearl Harbor was the day before her 7th birthday party. Can you imagine the feeling in the room that day? Little 7-year-old girl, the world just changed. Dropping of atomic bombs, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and Cold War and the space race, the landing on the moon, the sexual revolution of the 1960s, she watched our nation wobble and wander off from worshiping Jesus. Vietnam War, the assassination of a US president, the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Watergate, HIV epidemic and all that uncertainty, the Gulf War, 9/11, COVID, the loss of her husband. Let's get personal about this. The loss of her sister, who she would bring to church every week, and they would sit together before she entered her rest. And the loss of her sister's husband, her brother-in-law. And she sits in the back every week in the midst of all that she's been through, and she prays, and she prays. 8 o'clock. I mean, that's early. We start at 9. I don't know if you know that. 8 o'clock, she's here. And she's sitting back there drinking her coffee as the band warms up and gets ready, and she's saying, "Come, Holy Spirit. For every little kid who comes in this place today, I pray that they would know the voice of Jesus from their earliest memories. Come, Holy Spirit, for every marriage that's on the brink, I pray that they'd be restored today. I pray that salvation would break out. I pray that the prodigals would come home." She prays for the elderly who will come in here, that no one would feel missed, that no one would feel alone, that everyone would feel dignified and honored. And this woman has been here for decades doing this week in, week out. And there's not gonna be an article written about her in the Gazette. The New York Times isn't gonna tell her story, but you know who knows her story? Heaven knows her story. You know whose lives she's impacted? All of your lives she has impacted. And every single week when I come in here and I go find Miss Alice, she serves as a quiet provocation to do not let your heart be shaken. If she can go through all of this that I've just listed, there's been 1,000 times where her life could have collapsed. There's been 1,000 times where she could have chosen not to sign back up. There's been 1,000 times where she wondered if the world was going to hell in a handbasket. And what did she do? She got up the next morning, she poured her coffee, she opened the scriptures, she prayed, she served at her local church and is still doing it to this day. And this is what a saint looks like. This is what do not let your heart be troubled looks like. And friends, I'm just introducing you to a woman of God that all of us need to become like. Can you give Miss Alice Wagner so much love today? Yes, ma'am. You see these people standing up for you? You guys got her? We cannot do this alone, says Jesus. You have to stay together. You have to help each other. Do not let your shared heart be shaken. Jesus goes on to say, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Can I take just a minute here and ask all of the people who are 18 years old and younger. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Let's give it up for our youngins in the faith here today, all over the room. Can you give me 3 minutes to talk to you specifically? Can you listen to me? I'm old enough to be your dad. I like saying that. I'm 41, I could be your dad. I'm gonna say that the rest of my life. I could be your grandfather. Shut up. Yeah. If you are under 18 years old, in the next 5 to 10 years, I can guarantee you several things that you will hear. I wanna put this in front of you and I wanna help you get in front of it so that you're prepared. If you're under 18, in the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to be told that to live by faith in Jesus is stupid. Oh, bless your heart. Faith is a crutch for all the weak people out there who can't get by. And oh, you're from that, was it a cult that you grew up in? Oh, kind of an insular, incestuous philosophical framework. And oh, bless your hearts. You're gonna hear that to follow Jesus is stupid. You're gonna hear that faith is repressive, that it's backward, that it's small-minded. You're gonna be told that you're not enlightened. And that if you could just shed your old story, if you could get rid of that restrictive religious thing, that your life would actually rise and you would find meaning and enlightenment. You're going to be told that the church is trying to steal your joy. You're going to be told that Jesus is just trying to keep you down, and that God is a diva and difficult to work with, and he's just trying to circle up the wagons and make you bow the knee. You're going to be told that to follow Jesus will make you end up on the wrong side of history. Anybody heard that recently? To follow Jesus, oh, the people of faith, you're gonna look up in 20 years and see that you were on the wrong side of history. You're gonna go to a college classroom where some professor might make you feel foolish, or might demean you or talk down to you or condescend. And they'll tell you that the best thing that you could do is give yourself over to a decade of deconstruction, or give yourself over to a decade of promiscuity, or give yourself over to writing your own story and to building your own truth. You're going to be told all of these things, but I'm telling you that the words of Jesus still ring true. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. If you will stay with Jesus, you will end up in the right place. If you stay with Jesus, you'll be sane and holy and sanctified like Miss Alice Wagner. If you will stay with Jesus, you'll weather the world's storms and you'll find a peace be still that the world is looking for. So young ones today, I'm telling you, stay with Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Can you say amen today, church? Can I talk to the older people in the room? You can decide if you fit in that category.
not me, no, not me. Young high school, you know, I'm strapping you.
If you're in that category, listen to me. Here's the threat that the enemy might put in front of you. Despair. Despair that the world is falling apart. Despair that I'm not living in the world that I grew up in anymore. And I get it. I understand that. I'm not at all being sarcastic, but I will gently present to you that every generation in human history has said the same thing. I'm going to my rest in a world that I didn't grow up in. This is strange. What's happening around me? And the enemy will tempt you to be afraid. The enemy will tempt you to be anxious. The enemy will tempt you to become angry in your latter years and to spend your life trying to preserve some vision of the past. Friends, what you can do is just give yourself over to Jesus like Miss Alice has, and show up and worship and read the scriptures and fast and pray and build the people around you. Don't let the enemy tempt you to fall into despair. Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. You can stay sane. You can stay joyful. You can laugh your way into the presence of God. We need our older saints to grow in holiness and to grow in wholeness and to grow in the joy of the Lord. So do not let your heart be troubled. Can you say amen today, church? Nice golf clap. Yeah, it's good. Masters. Can I talk to the middle of lifers? I'm 41. I hope I'm in that group. Middle of lifers. Pastor Brady calls 45 years old to 55 years old the decade of stupid. And I think he's genius. I've heard him talk about this for 10 years, and he called me the day after he turned 55 and one day, like he was one day out of the decade of stupid. He called me and said, I made it. And I said, good job, Brady, you know. Let's go get a burger. The decade of stupid, what does he mean there? 45 years old, typically, you're better at your craft than you've ever been. You've got 20 years in your work. You've practiced, you've honed your skills. Very often at 45 years old, you're making more than you've ever made. It's not always the case, but it's often the case that you're making more money than you've ever made. And at 45 years old, you're walking into more rooms where people are looking at you to be the leader, Whereas when you were the young one, you just showed up and they were all like, bless your heart, and we're just happy to have your energy in the room. But they didn't need you to do anything or lead anything. At 45 to 55, you're leading things. You're signing the front of the check. You're carrying burdens. And Pastor Brady says that when you get to that moment, the enemy will sneak up on you to try to tempt you to get caught up in busyness, in an overfull schedule, so that you fall asleep at the wheel with your faith. You stop reading the Bible. You stop coming to church on a regular basis. You stop what used to take you prayer and fasting and depending on God to carry you through when you were 25. The enemy will tempt you that you don't need to do that anymore because you're just good at your craft. You're a pro. You're excellent. And what happens is the enemy sneaks up and leads us off into destruction. Friends, I say to all of us, myself included, we need to stay awake in the faith. We need to follow Jesus. We need to stay on the front foot. Let's be the people that finish the race well, and let's not be broken here in the middle of our stories. Can you say amen today? Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Jesus. As we come to the end here today, the question we need to ask is, what's the destination? Jesus is using this language. I am the way. Well, Jesus, where are we going? What's the destination? If you're taking us on a journey, and if you are the journey yourself, where are we going to end up? I'll say to you today that the end of the journey is the Father. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you'll follow me, I'll take you home to my Father. The end of our story is not a sort of Broadmoor experience in the heavenlies. That's not the end of our story. You know, spa days and getting pampered because you had a really hard life. That's not the end of the story. The end of the story is the love of the Father, is to be with him, with his Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to be wrapped up in the Holy Trinity, the God who is perfect, blessed Trinity. That's the end of the story. And many of you, I know that's a hard concept for you to think about ending up with the Father, because the father you saw, or maybe the mother that you had, or maybe the family of origin that you grew up in, a home was not a safe place for you. And I grieve that to the depths of my being. I would never race past that or minimize that, but Jesus says that I am come to take you to the Father. I am the way, and our destination is relationship with the Father. If you love what you see with Jesus, you're gonna love spending eternity with his Father. If you love what you see with Jesus, you're gonna love spending eternity with his Father. I wanna show you this picture here as we close. This is my little girl, Lillian, when she was 4. Lillian Carol Grothy. Just as sweet as they come. She's about to be 17. She's a honey. She's smart. We got her PSAT scores back, and I said, well, she's not mine. She's her mother's for sure. She's poised, she's confident, she's great. She's not perfect, but she's on a beautiful trajectory, and I'm so proud of her. She has not caused me one second of grief in 17 years. 4 years old, this is Lillian. I was looking back through Lisa's, my wife, through her pictures, and this was Lisa when she was 4. I don't know, if you've seen Lillian, you've seen her mother. If you've seen Lillian, if you love Lillian, you're gonna love Lisa, because Lillian is just a byproduct of the greatness of Lisa. Lillian has been a disciple of Lisa, and Jesus, okay, now get rid of that picture in your mind and hear the words of Jesus. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He says, if you like what you see with me, you're gonna love spending eternity with my Father. And tell me one story in the Gospels where Jesus encounters someone and leaves them worse than he found them. Jesus is always building up the weak. Jesus is always restoring people. Jesus is always dignifying people. Jesus is always building people up and healing and raising and forgiving and delivering. Jesus is always making people feel strength in their story. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you're gonna love my dad. So come with me to my Father's house. Come with me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And you live in a world where there's fear. You live in a world where there's anxiety. Do not let your shared heart
be troubled. Stay together, walk with each other, carry each other. Look up at the Miss Alice Wagners and see what a saint looks like. But ultimately, Jesus says, I am the way, and I'm heading to my Father's house. So come with me, and we'll spend the rest of eternity in the blessedness of my Father's presence. Friends, today I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm calling you to follow Jesus, because he is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life, and he's the one that's going to take us home to his Father. Can you say amen today, church? Would you stand with me? Can we take a minute here before we come through for communion and respond to Jesus? Because again, the enemy is going to tempt us with these cheaper, more idolatrous storylines that don't cost us a cross, that don't require washing feet, but they don't end up in eternal life. The enemy is going to tempt us to write our own stories. Today, what we need to say is, Jesus, we need you. We trust you. You are the way. So would you close your eyes and begin to respond to Jesus? Would you call his name? Some of you are new to this and you go, I don't know how to pray. All you need to do is call the name of Jesus. Scripture says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So just tell him, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I long for you. Jesus, I worship you. I adore you. I bless you. I want to be more like you. Jesus, heal us. Jesus, forgive us. Jesus, restore us. Jesus, we need you today. And we do believe that you are the way and the truth and the life. And now, friends, I sense today that we need to go after fear. We need to cast it out in Jesus' name. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Why did he say that? He knew that the enemy would come at us with anxiety and fear and terror and chaos and mistrust. And so I say to you today in Jesus' name, fear be gone. Can you receive that today, church? In a world that is just locked up in political tribalism, fear be gone. Chaos be gone. Lord, I pray that the peace of God would descend on us today. I pray that the peace of God would guard our hearts and our minds today. I pray that we would start sleeping again. I pray that we would start trusting again. I pray that we would have the joy of the Lord be our strength again. Why? Because fear has been cast out in Jesus' name. And so I say to you, church, do not let your heart be troubled. I want to invite our communion servers to come down. And what we're going to do, if you're new with us, is we're going to come through the room and get our communion elements. If you're physically not able, no worries. Tap your neighbor, they'll bring you an extra. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna worship the Lord here. We're gonna sing to Jesus. Come through the room, get your communion elements, go back to your seats, and in just a minute, I'll come back and we'll receive together. Come and worship Jesus. Church, would you open your communion elements and be ready to receive? The question we're asking, is he worthy of following him? Should we lay everything down and follow this one? On the night that he was betrayed, we see him and he says, "This is my body which is broken for you." This is the God who will pay the ultimate price so that we can be won back to wholeness. This is the God who will be shattered so that we can be put back together. This is the God who will be made to look like a fool and stripped naked in front of the public so that we can be clothed and in our right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. This is the God that is worthy of our lives. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So let's go to the Father with him. You may receive the bread. What about the sin? What about the shame? What about the embarrassment of the past? Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant given in my blood, and it's given for the washing away, the remission, the removal of all of that old stuff. It's buried. It's gone. It's been taken into the sea of forgetfulness." Jesus says, "You're clean. If any person be in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Drink up to your wholeness and salvation and forgiveness today." Now let's worship for a couple more minutes here. Let's take the roof off in praise and adoration of Jesus. Come on.
Oh, and is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? And is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll?
Yeah.
open your hands to receive the blessing today as we go. Peace, 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 peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus, we trust you today, and as we go, I thank you that you're sending us out. I pray, may the Lord our God bless you, and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift his bright, smiling countenance upon you and all of your people. And may he grant you his peace today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Can we give God thanks for what he's done here today? 12:15 is a great day in the house of the Lord. Two things. Our prayer team is coming down. If you need any prayer, come see us. And if you're new, we would love to see you in Connect Central. Go from here in God's grace and peace. Much love.